Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
It's good to see you this morning. I know that there's somebody that's usually here that's about a head taller than me. And I know that he and Cheryl are enjoying their time away. And let me tell you that I'm grateful to Jeff and to you for the opportunity to share the Word of God with you this morning. It's a blessing. This church has enfolded us from the time we walked in the door in June of 2016, and has given us incredible opportunities to serve. And we just thank God for you, individually and corporately. I know that if for some reason, if someone is visiting with us, if any of you are visiting with us, we would encourage you to take this this card that you find in your pews. You don't have to, but you are welcome to fill it out and leave it in the seat as you leave later today, and somebody will be getting a hold of you. And as Jeff says, I think that somewhere in there there may be a recipe for cookies tucked away. I know that we enjoyed ours, and it's a blessing. And also, you may not realize it, but we have an active prayer team, and they would love the opportunity to pray for you. And so there is a prayer card in the pew. We'd encourage you to submit the request, and it has a box to check if you just want that shared maybe with the pastor and the church staff. But we welcome you to take advantage of that as well. Well, let's go to the Father in prayer this morning. Oh, Father, what a great, great day you have given us. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you for your word that has endured faithfully throughout all generations. It has spoken to the hearts of men and women and boys and girls from the beginning of time. It has brought peace and comfort and strength to reading and hearing hearts. And so we pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit indeed will be welcome here, that we would give him permission to do whatever needs to be done in our personal lives to bring us, as Trevor just said, into alignment with you, because we know that as we are in oneness with you, that's when our hearts are at peace and when we find power and purpose also. And so, Lord, thank you ahead of time for what you are going to say through your word today. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our scripture, as you see in the bulletin, is Psalm 46, verses 1 through 11. And it is also, I've added a second scripture, so if you have your Bibles with you, you might keep your fingers in both of them, because we'll be going somewhat back and forth. The other scripture is Acts chapter 16, verses 25-34. I believe you may recognize this as a sermon that Jim Reinbold preached not too long ago, or a scripture from the scripture that he had preached at that time. And so I want us to do something maybe a little different. I want us to read Psalm 46 in unison. This is actually it's actually a song, and like we sing, and then there are also choruses, the refrain, and you'll pick that up as you hear it. When you hear it, I'll raise my hand so you'll know that, because we're going to be going to referring back to that from time to time. So let's read together. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. You might take note of that last verse. We will be revisiting it a little later. And then from Acts chapter 16, verses 25 through 34. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. Thank you, Lord, for your word freely given. In Jesus' name, amen. In August of 1975, I was looking forward to a trip to California to meet my fiancée, Diane, who is in the congregation today. I had stayed in Wilmore, Kentucky to take some summer classes at Asbury Seminary, and she had gone home to be a youth pastor in her local church and to make preparations for our wedding in December. Well, we had corresponded frequently by mail that summer, and it helped to bridge the miles and to alleviate the loneliness and to strengthen our relationship. But one letter I received caused me a bit of concern. Diane had mentioned that her area of California had been subject to several earthquakes, some in the neighborhood of 6.0 on the Richter scale. She described rocks jumping in the driveway and trees moving without a breeze. Now, bear this in mind. I'm a native Texan. I had had no experience with earthquakes, nor did I want to have an experience with one. They could carry on as usual, just as long as I wasn't out there while they were carrying on. So Diane's family wanted to take a brief vacation while we were there and asked me to join them. We were going to Pismo Beach, California. It was one of their favorite vacation spots. It was a first-time visit for me. We had a wonderful time. We spent the night in a KOA campground. Her dad set up a small tent outside, and the rest of us made ourselves at home in the camper. We all had separate sleeping spaces and soon fell asleep. In the middle of the night, I was awakened by a rumbling sound and a vibration that I felt in the camper. My worst fears immediately surfaced. I've come out to California to die in an earthquake. You know, and here I am. You know, I am aware of it. Everybody else is sacked out. They're sleeping soundly. And I struggled with how to wake her family without causing panic. But I knew I had to do something quick. And just about the time I was reaching above my bunk to wake up Diane, I heard a train whistle coming from the railroad track that paralleled California Coast Highway 1, not far from our campground. With a mixture of relief and embarrassment for being so paranoid, I drifted back off to sleep. Well, friends, upheavals happen in nature and in life. And, you know, we have experienced both kinds of upheavals not long ago in our state with the disaster of Hurricane Harvey and the tragedy of Sutherland Springs. And there are many of us in this room who also remember Pearl Harbor, the Kennedy assassination, Oklahoma City, and 9/11, to keep it brief. These events jolt us out of our complacency and they cause great anxiety and fear. And yet the Word of God says, God is our refuge and strength, therefore we will not fear. When trouble strikes, God is sufficient to get you through. Let me repeat that again. When trouble strikes, God is sufficient to get you through. Amen? No problem, whether it's emotional or physical or spiritual, is too big for Him. If we will learn to take refuge in Him and lean on Him alone for strength, then we can face the most extreme crises with quiet confidence because God is with us and He is sufficient. Now, this doesn't mean that God insulates us from problems. The psalm makes that quite clear. It teaches that God is our help in trouble. Hear that, church. Not that He will exempt us from trouble. The psalm mentions catastrophic trouble, global changes in verse 2, severe earthquakes and storms in verses 2 and 3, and wars in verses 6 and 9. God doesn't protect us as Christians from this sort of thing. When a plane goes down, God doesn't make sure that there are no Christians aboard. When war ravages a country, God doesn't preserve the believers from its effects. Life-threatening illness affects Christians as well as non-Christians. Trouble strikes the godly as well as the ungodly. The question is, when trouble strikes, do you want to face it with God as your refuge and strength, or do you want to try to find help somewhere else? Psalm 46 shows us that when trouble strikes, God is sufficient to get us through. Now, the psalmist pictures one of the most frightening and catastrophic natural disasters imaginable, an earthquake so severe that the mountains slip into the heart of the sea. I can't imagine that. I've been out in California and seen Mount Lassen and Mount Shasta. I can't imagine something so powerful that it literally sinks those mighty mountains into the heart of the sea. Californians like to joke about, you know, particularly if they live away from the ocean, they like to joke about how if the big one ever hits, they would have beachfront property. But the psalmist is picturing a quake so big that the mountains get swallowed up by the sea. He is saying that in the worst disaster that we can imagine, God is sufficient as our refuge and strength, so that we need not be terrified. As our refuge, we can flee to God and find relief and comfort. As our strength, we discover that His strength is made perfect in our weakness. You know, I think I've heard that today, maybe in the worship time. And God's protection and strength are immediately available. Verse 1 says, a very present help the instant we turn to Him. And friends, though His answers may be slow in coming, there is immediate comfort and calm when we flee to God for refuge and strength. During an earthquake a few years ago, the inhabitants of a small village were alarmed by the quake, but also they were surprised at the calmness and apparent joy of an old woman whom they all knew. And at length, one of them said, "Well, aren't you afraid?" She said, "No, I rejoice to know that I have a God who can shake the world. Amen? The pictures from the psalm form a composite of how uncertain life is. For you and me, it may not be a natural disaster. It may be a moral one. It may not be a political collapse that worries us. It might be a family one. But whatever personal catastrophe you and I face, whether it's a major health problem or the death of a loved one or the loss of your job or emotional problems or relational conflicts or whatever it is, God is bigger than your problems. Can I say that again? God is bigger than your problems. He's readily available to help if you will take refuge in Him and trust Him. In his strength. Paul and Silas proved this to be true in Acts chapter 16. You know, it started out as a pretty normal day, just walking around, but there was this demon-possessed girl that followed them and basically blew their cover in a way. She was shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God, and they've come to bring you salvation." Well, you don't want the demons telling the world about that. You know, Jesus himself, when he was confronted by the demons trying to blow his cover, shut them up. And Paul did the same thing. I adjure you in the name of Jesus, come out of her. And immediately the demon was gone. And immediately the guys that were making profit off of her realized that their profit was gone. And so they proceeded to have Paul and Silas arrested, and by nightfall they were beaten and in chains and found themselves in a dark dungeon. Surely life for them had become very uncertain, very scary. How did they handle it? The scripture is crystal clear about their response. This word is from the Message in chapter 16, verse 25. About midnight, Paul and Silas were in prayer and singing a robust hymn to God. The other prisoners couldn't believe their ears. I have no doubt that one of the hymns they sang was from that dog-eared Hebrew hymn book, the Psalms, Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Now, I want to take you back again to Psalm 46. In verse number 2, it says, now notice what happens here. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. That doesn't sound very stable, does it? Sounds like an incredible, horrible calamity. And all of a sudden, the psalm stops and says, there's a river. Now, when we think of rivers, we don't think of rivers as surging like sea. You know, those are the places we go to fish or to boat. It's a picture of calm. And so the contrast is striking, from tumult to peace, from unrestrained violence to control, from life outside of God to life with God. There is a river. And friends, that river is a picture of the greatest spiritual resource we have, the Lord Jesus himself. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. He says in verse 5, he is the living water who alone can quench our spiritual thirst. He is the God who is powerful enough to quell the uproar of the nations by simply raising his voice. You see, Jesus told the woman at the well, whoever drinks of the water that I give him shall never thirst, but the water I shall give him shall become in him a well of water, an artesian well of water springing up to eternal life. Jesus also said in John 7, 37 and 38, if anyone is thirsty, let them come to me and drink. Those who believe in me, as the scripture says, from their innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. He was referring to the Holy Spirit who is given to every believer. And so, friends, whatever problems rage against us, God's Spirit is the ever-flowing river who sustains us and gives us gladness even when we're under siege. Have you noticed how the chorus is repeated throughout the psalm? Can you say it with me? I'll just, if you'll repeat it after me. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. The Hebrew word for fortress comes from the root word that means to be high, to be safe. It is used throughout the Psalms as a rock, a refuge, a fortress. And from it, we get the word Masada. I don't know if you're familiar with Masada, but it was the desert fortress of Herod the Great. It literally rose 1,300 feet above the desert, and it was a flat-top mountain that faced the western shore of the Dead Sea. Herod took this former Hebrew fortress and furnished it as a refuge for himself in case of rebellion or invasion. It was built as a retreat, but it served as a refuge. There was virtually no way to penetrate it. You know, our relationship with the Lord, friends, is our Masada. It is our place of refuge, our source of strength, our very present help in trouble. But hear me when I say this. Masadas are not built in times of trouble. They are peacetime projects. If you wait until the upheaval to begin building, then there won't be a fortress to run to when we need to. Do you know why Paul and Silas could sing in the dungeon? It was because of what they had already experienced. God was their fortress. He was entirely trustworthy. He could absolutely be depended upon to be faithful. One of my favorite quotes comes from a man named Russell Maltby. He said, Jesus promised his followers only three things. Number one, that they would be entirely fearless. Number two, that they would be absurdly happy. And number three, that they would get in trouble. Absurdly fearless, entirely fearless, absurdly happy, and that they would get into trouble. That there was a confidence in God that prepared Paul and Silas not only for imprisonment, but earthquake, and for the unexpected life change that followed for their jailer and his family. You see, the same earthquake that rocked the city of Philippi opened prison doors and set the captives free. Isn't that amazing? That same earthquake that opened the prison broke open the sinful heart of the Philippian jailer and resulted in salvation for him and his family. Sometimes only an earthquake of the Spirit can result in a changed life. Friends, I can relate. I grew up in the church. My parents made sure I was there every time the doors opened. I was active in Sunday school, later in the United Methodist Youth. I attended every worship service the church offered. But you know what? I developed a perception of being a Christian, and this is what it was. If you want to get to heaven, you got to do all the good deeds you possibly can. And then when you get to the pearly gates, St. Peter will take all your good stuff and all your bad stuff and put it on a scale. And if the good stuff outweighs the bad stuff, he says, come on in. And you can figure out what happens if the bad stuff outweighs the good stuff. Now, when I got to college, I adjusted the scale slightly. I said, well, okay, if I'm faithful in morning worship and if I do some other good things, I went to a Sunday school for the Abilene State School from time to time. So morning worship plus some other good things, that'd be sufficient enough to get me in. But you know, in the spring of 1970, some college students came to Aldersgate for a college lay witness mission, and they were different. They talked about a relationship with Jesus. They were not afraid to share their faith, and they made me yearn for something that I did not have. And so I determined to come to the Sunday morning service that weekend and learn more, but I overslept. Oh, I love that laugh. My point system collapsed like a house of cards. And I went to the evening evaluation session, much like John Wesley on May 24th, 1738, very unwillingly. It was only a couple of friends who just begged me to go and bribed me with dinner to get me to go. And just like Wesley, about 8:45, on Sunday, April 26, 1970, God touched this sinner's heart, my chains fell off, and my heart was free. And Jesus became real to me in a way that he never had before. You know, that experience has remained with me for 47 years, but I'm not putting it in a drawer to get it out and look at it. I know that an experience with God has to be new every morning. New every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I know the truth of Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. By grace you're saved through faith. This is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. You know, I'm not saying since that time that earthquakes haven't come. In fact, they have. Some have truly rocked my world. But I cling to the promise of Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Therefore, I will not fear. Regardless of what goes on around me, God with us, Emmanuel, is with me. Then the psalmist moves to a life lived in the power of God. It's interesting, he goes on to say, behold the works of the Lord. Behold the works of the Lord, the desolations he's brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. You know what I think about that? Those are all the weapons of our warfare against God. You ever been at war with God? You can't win a war with God. All the weapons of our warfare against him lie broken and shattered. And then we hear his voice speaking to us in Psalm 46:10. Be still. Be still. You know, there's so many ways to translate the words for be still. Cease striving. Let go. Relax. The Message says it this way: step out of the traffic. Do any of these ring true in your heart? Are you striving against God in some critical area? Is there something you need to let go of so that God can work with that situation? Are you trying so hard to control something that God has no room to move in grace in your life? Are you so overwhelmed by your circumstances that you have no perspective, that you literally have to step out of the traffic in order to see clearly? Be still. Be still and know that I am God. So how do you know this amazing God who's your refuge and strength? Number one, get to know him through his word. Get to know him through his word. Read about him in one of the Gospels. Ask him to reveal who he is as you read. You see, as you know him, you trust him. A person who has little knowledge of flying will be greatly afraid when he flies through rough weather. An experienced pilot who knows flying and knows his aircraft won't be afraid because he has greater knowledge, he has greater trust. Number two, draw on him as your resource. Draw on him as your resource. If anyone is thirsty, Jesus said, let him come to me and drink. Like physical water, the water he gives must be taken in daily. Depend on him daily for the spiritual strength he gives. Number three, meet with his people regularly. Meet with his people regularly because you see, God never intended for us to live the Christian life in isolation. He never intended for us to face trials in isolation. Hebrews 10:25 says, don't neglect meeting together. Encourage each other, and all the more as you see his coming drawing near. Psalm 46 inspired the great reformer Martin Luther to write his triumphant hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. Did you know that? Did you know that it was based on Psalm 46? Luther faced numerous dangers and threats on his life. At one point, he spent 11 months in hiding in Wartburg Castle. And in the face of opposition and excommunication and pressure from every side to back down, he stood firmly for the truth of salvation by grace through faith alone. When he was afraid or grew discouraged, he would say to his friend and co-worker Philip Melanchthon, come, Philip, let us sing the 46th Psalm. And they would lift their voices. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, our helper amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe does seek to work us woe. His craft and power great, and armed with cruel hate, no one on earth is his equal. But it says, the prince of darkness grim, we tremble not at him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word, Jesus. One little word, Jesus, shall fell him. You know, my friends, for you to experience God's sufficiency in a crisis, you've got to learn to experience him in his grace and power every day. If you aren't learning to depend on him as your refuge and to draw on him as your resource and lean on him as your God when things are going smoothly, you won't know how when trouble strikes. A crisis doesn't make a person. A crisis reveals a person. An addict turns to drugs. A worldly person turns to the world's wisdom. And as Christians, our heart, our help comes from the Lord. When trouble strikes, he is sufficient to get you through. Say that chorus again with me. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Praise his name. Would you join me as we pray together? Father God, I thank you that regardless of the things that threaten to shake our world, only you remain stable and secure and true. And we can truly say, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Thank you, God, for that assurance and for that everlasting promise. In Jesus' name, amen. I would invite you, friends, if the Lord is stirring in your heart, if there's a crisis that you are experiencing, I invite you to take time at the altar of prayer or to make the place where you are an altar of prayer. I will remain after the service for prayer if you need something specific. And I know others who are prayer warriors would be glad to stay as well and pray with you. Let the voice of God speak to you. Be still. Let go. Relax. Step out of the traffic and know that I am God.
Let's stand.
Hear this, my friends. The Word of God says God is our refuge and strength. Therefore, we will not fear. When trouble strikes, God is sufficient, more than sufficient, to get you through. Go from this place and tell somebody. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.